and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. It's always a joy to be able to share with you the Word of God. No matter where I'm at, and you know, if I'm in church, if I'm on the radio, wherever I'm at, it's always a great joy for me to be able to present the Word of God as God has written it in His book, the King James Bible. And we've been looking at the dispensation of the church. And as we look at that, and we talked about this last time, how that in the Old Testament days, we'll call it the Old Testament days, the Old Testament saints, how that the church age was really invisible to them. They could not see the church, but it was hidden to them. In Colossians 1:26, it says, "Even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." Well, he's talking about the church being made manifest to the saints. And I used the illustration of two mountain peaks. If you look at one mountain peak and you kind of look at that one, and the other may be a little higher, or you just get a little closer, and then you can see both mountain peaks. But what's in between, you really can't see. It's in a valley. Well, that's the way it was and is, and it still is for some people. They just don't see the church age. They don't see what's going on right now. This is the dispensation of the church. But the Old Testament saints, they did not see the valley. They did not see what was in that valley. And that valley contained the church. And that valley is today. We're in that valley, you might say, of the church age, the dispensation of the church. We know that the church now has become visible. I can look around and I can see my brothers and sisters in Christ, and they are part of the local church. They are part of God's church, and they are visible. I can see those individuals. I also mentioned the upper room once again, where it says in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, "The former treaties I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." And then in verse 8 of Acts chapter 1 it says, "But ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." We know the Bible teaches us that if any person has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, when you get saved, you have the Spirit of Christ. You have that Spirit. He is the Spirit of God. He is God. Well, Jesus Christ, he left us something that each of us need as his workers, as his ambassadors, as members of his local church. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. Some people say, well, that power was only given to those people living back when this was written, back in the book of Acts when it was written. Actually, before it was written, it was given to those people who were standing there that day watching Jesus Christ go up in the clouds. The Bible says that those people would receive the power of the Holy Ghost. Well, we have that same power because the Holy Spirit lives within us. The Holy Ghost lives within us. And we, as the children of God, have the power to do whatever He wants us to do. And we've looked at some of those things, to be witnesses for Him, to help other individuals, to help the saints, to pray for each other, to have fellowship one with another. And we've been given the great responsibility of representing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's never put more on us than he puts within us. And he's put the Holy Spirit within us that we can serve him to our fullest. Acts chapter 1, verses 12 and through 15 says, "Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealots, and Judas the brother of James. Now this is not Judas Iscariot that we're reading of here in this verse. Verse 14 goes on to say, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Now, that the Lord is telling us that all those people there numbered about 120. As I look at this, I see something that stands out to me. In verse 14 of chapter 1 of Acts, it says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. That means that this early church had things together. They had one goal, and that was to worship God, and that was to please God, and that was to do his bidding. And the way they did that was they were all with one accord in prayer and supplication. I believe that when a church, when we see problems within a local church, that church needs to get together and have prayer. That church needs to understand that prayer and supplication works together. The local church needs to understand that we need to continue with one accord in prayer and supplication, serving God to our, to the best that we can according to what God has given us. And I remind you that he's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us the power to do his bidding, to do what he wants us to do. And we are to do things with one accord, not exalting ourselves above another, but doing as God would have us to do, working together in the local church, serving our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, there was a great beginning that happened here in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, this would be the 120 disciples, they were all with one accord. Here it is again. They were all with one accord in one place. We need to realize that God has given us the great privilege of serving him and doing what he would have us to do as his people, as his church, working together with one accord. There should be no divisions as we work together in our local church. And I believe that, once again, that the church is visible today within the local church. We see each other, and we know that the church age is here, the dispensation of the church. Let me remind you that we are studying dispensation number 6, and that is the church. Well, I keep reminding you that God has always had a plan. He knows the ending, the beginning from the end from the beginning, and all this. He knows everything in between because he's God. You see, when we think of this, what a great privilege it is to live right now, because we are now, this very moment, living in the dispensation of the church. This dispensation is not an age completely of the past or entirely of the future. This is an exciting time for us because we have a part in the dispensation right now. In fact, we who are saved are God's ambassadors, his representatives during this time. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20 says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. We all have a ministry, and that ministry is one of letting people know that they too can be reconciled to God as we were, and that they too can become ambassadors for Christ. What a great privilege it is to live today, and especially to be living for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful time it is to know Jesus Christ as Savior, because we will see him one day personally because we're saved on our way to heaven. That is, those of us who have trusted him as Savior. Well, see, time has passed. The present is now. And the future will come. Well, when will this dispensation end, the dispensation of the church? Well, I don't know. But I know how it will end. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about this. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible hath put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. In Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately, John the apostle said, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Well, during the study of the dispensation of the church, the Lord's will, we will discuss and we will look at what verses we have read in 1 Corinthians and Revelation and understand that it refers to, and that is the rapture of the church. But that's not happened yet. That's something we look forward to. Not only the study of the rapture, but the actual event that will take place one day when he will say, come up hither. And he will receive us into glory. Our old vile bodies will be changed and be fashioned like our Lord and Savior's, Jesus Christ. Now notice something about the church age. We've been studying this now. And today I would like for us to understand that many things have transpired during the church age. There are so many things that have happened that there's no way that I can cover all of them in these short studies that we're going through. I encourage you to get into the Word of God and study the Word of God and let God speak to your heart. Well, first of all, the Lord has commanded us and those who are saved to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. And we've seen this and we've read this in Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now people have been saved and are still being saved today because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, and without spot. Well, God has graciously allowed us humans to tell the world of God's love toward us humans. Now, he has not chosen angels or any other means of spreading the gospel other than through God's word being shared by men and women to other men and women. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. The Bible tells us, and Jesus said, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. I will draw all people. I will let them know that I can save them if they will simply trust me as Savior. He's not saying that he's going to choose a certain individual to be saved and a certain person to be lost. He's saying, I will draw all people unto me. You see, the person must come to the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Jesus speaks to people. Jesus speaks to the heart. And he may be speaking to you right now if you've never trusted him as Savior. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you will trust him as your Lord and Savior, Lord, I changed my mind about how to get to heaven. I know I can't go on my own. I must trust you as my Lord and Savior. Lord, please forgive me of my sin. I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior right now, Lord. Save me right now.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.